Page 997. The reading is from Matthew, chapter 19, just three verses. The little children and Jesus. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know what God has been quite doing in me over these last few months. Even now I feel quite emotional, which is not that uncommon for me, as you know. But I don't know, it's something about a heart for children. And sensing something of Jesus' heart for children. It began when I heard a news news item on the television about the extraordinary and appalling exploitation of young children in the sex trade over the internet. And hundreds and thousands of people just going online and seeing these children being abused in sexual acts. Most horrendous. And then paying for people to get them to do it and all those terrible, terrible things. I was in tears. Just seeing it and hearing about it and thinking about it. And then when you see these children in West Africa, you know, and the little babies being brought out in these bags. And the weeping of the parents over another person who's died from Ebola. The cyberbullying in the schools of this nation. And our own children that we know telling stories of being up at night and staying awake because of their fear of going to school the next day. And those ongoing pictures of children scavenging for scraps in the rubbish tips of South America it's been so moving and so appalling. And it's always been going on, but I just feel that God is saying something to me. And I don't know whether it's to me, just for me. Maybe my heart is being broken by what breaks God's, which is what I pray. But maybe it's happening for you too. How Christ's heart must be breaking when he sees and knows what's happening to the children in our world. There was something in the Pope, wasn't there, Pope Francis, that enabled him to reach out on his busy schedule going through the crowds in the Philippines recently, when he was on that stage and a young person just read words crying out, "Why, God, are you letting all these things happen to children who are being abused?" And those of you who might have seen the pictures of Pope Francis just placing his hand around, hugging this child and kissing her. It's the heart of Jesus for those children. And in our reading this morning, we're given a glimpse of Jesus' heart for children as he walked through on his journeys, a busy man that he was, to all these places that he was going. And this occasion that Ruth just read, that very short passage in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus had the priority of going to Jerusalem. That was where he was off to, so that he might teach the people and to fulfill his destiny as God's son and to bring release and healing ultimately will come to those whose faith is in him. The people were bringing children, we read, infants. The word that is described is not older children, it's infants. Why? They were coming to see Jesus. But much more than that, we're told that he was to place his hands on them, that he might place his hands on them and bless them. And this is just what Jesus did. He placed his hands on them and he blessed them. That's what Jesus did all the time with people. Whether they were lepers who were untouchables, well, he placed his hands on them and blessed them. Whether they were prostitutes who were out of the social network that was shunned by people, he placed his hands on them. He welcomed them, placing their hands on his feet and kissing them. He engaged with people at a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. And here were these parents looking to bring their children, their little ones, to Jesus, that they might be blessed. Do you notice how it was Jesus' disciples, Jesus' own disciples who knew him, who rebuked those who brought them? They rebuked not the children, notice, not the children. They did not rebuke the children. Jesus had no authority to rebuke the children. That was for their parents to do. And that's why Tracy said, in no unclear terms, as we operate as a body of Christ, it is the parents' responsibility to rebuke the children, nobody else's, or those who have the authority from the parents as their leaders who act on the children's behalf. I want to make that absolutely clear to everybody, that our responsibility is not to rebuke children. Because Jesus said, do not hinder them. Do not put things in their way. And that sort of thing can put a huge barrier in the way of children coming to church and finding the love of God. We need to be absolutely in Jesus' will, not acting out of our own will or our own emotional response. For the disciples, it was the number one priority to go to Jerusalem, to get Jesus to Jerusalem. But Jesus had a higher priority. In fact, in Mark's gospel, we read that Jesus was described as being indignant. Indignant that the disciples were stopping the children coming to him. And he said, let the children come. Do not hinder them. Because Jesus' passion was for children, that they might know him and to be found in him. That they might know that they are loved by God. That they might know that they are prayed for, blessed, embraced with the open arms of the one who will never treat them with anything other than sacrificial love. And so great was Jesus' heart for children that the sternest warnings were given to those who sought to do them any harm. A little earlier in Matthew's, that same chapter, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaks to those who would do anything to the children. In chapter 18, he says, woe to you, whoever... He says, whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. But if any of you causes any of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone hung round your neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus has harsh words and huge warnings for those who were getting in the way of children finding the life of God. Whoever welcomes a little child welcomes me, he said. And I wonder if you can feel, therefore, the heart of Jesus this morning. As a church family, as a church community, we want to, and we sing and we pray and we long to have the heart of God. Because we're called to love that which Jesus loves. To be his body in the world. To be his hands and his feet. To have his heart, his passion, his compassion. And these words, "Let the children come," are ringing in my ears. They have been for weeks. And I pray that they will ring in our ears as a church too. Because I do sense the Spirit of God saying to us, "Let the children come." Let the children come in 2015. Let the children come. Let them come to him. Let them come to this place. Let them come to all the churches, the gatherings of Christians who will nurture children and help them to know the life of Christ, to give them a solid foundation based upon Christian values and an identity that is not around their looks or their behavior, but about who they are, as special, as precious in his sight. It's so moving, isn't it, to see some of those film clips and to hear parents and children expressing something in a way that is already happening here at Christ Church. In so many ways, that welcome is being offered and that nurture is going on, as Tracy outlined. And we're so thankful, so very, very thankful to all who are involved with children as part of God's family and know his friendship. Thankful to those who invest so much time in our ministry with children. Thankful to those who invest so much of their lives in children outside of the church community, in their work, in their places of encounter, in the whole of life. It's not just about church. But it's about every person enabling God's people to become a means through which children are blessed in our wider community and wider world. But over the coming months, we want to feature each of the different aspects of the children's ministry at different times here as a church. And to get to know the children, their leaders, and to be able to pray for them. Hear their stories, celebrate what they're doing and how God is transforming lives and young disciples are being made. Jesus' words to us, "Let the children come." And it's not just the children of parents who already come, but the hundreds and the hundreds of children who live within a few miles of Christ Church that I see and you see walking to church in the morning. When I come into this church building, I go through flocks, I described, of children all going to school or going back from school to their different nurseries or toddler groups or going home again. And then again at 3 o'clock, there are 7 primary schools in this parish. And if you think an average of about 200 or so, 250 in each of those, then there's all the nurseries. Then there's the toddler groups. Then there's the home care stuff. Then there's all the different stuff for children under school age. There are hundreds, thousands of children within our little patch. What about them? Can we feel Jesus' heart for them? So that they might come to him. That they might know that they are uniquely and eternally loved. What I suppose what I'm wanting to say is that the Great Commission that we're seeking to take forward in Christ's name and by the power of his Spirit is not just about adults. It is absolutely about children too, maybe especially the children. And let me end just by asking if Violet can show this tiny little... Is that going to be possible, Violet? This is a bit of an iffy thing. But this is... Oh, here we are. This is an excerpt from a worldwide conference on evangelism for children. So I thought we definitely must hear just the first bit of it. Here we go. It's only 30 seconds. It was filmed in the dark. Oh.
A solution for reaching the vast unreached places of the earth. There is a remedy that will completely turn the world upside down and revolutionize the entire workings of the church. It is aim lower, think smaller, give up, and go have a cup of coffee.
There you are. Told you it was short. That's all we need to do. Aim lower. Think of a lower age range, a lower age range, and pray for a lower age range that we're often praying about in church on our own. Think smaller. Think about the small ones in our wider community. Getting to know children's names. How many of us, and I put my hand up, know the names of our children? I don't know them all. I only know a few. And that's absolutely terrible. But how much respect would we give our children if we at least knew their names? Ask the parents and write them down. Ask the children, get to know them. Enable them to be involved and equipped, just as we do with adults, so we think smaller. Give up! For the sake of seeing children experiencing the life of Jesus, is there something that you can give up in order to do something different? In order that we as a church might be absolutely on fire with the best possible ways of reaching and loving Jesus, reaching and loving children with the gospel of Jesus. I'm not just talking about money. But it may be that somebody wants to give us a particular amount to fund an initiative within the children's ministry. It may be that there are things that you're doing already that you feel, maybe that's not quite God's purposes for me now. And I want to move my priorities and my time into working with children and being with children in different ways. Giving something up for the sake of the kingdom. And then go and have a cup of coffee. Talk to one of the parents and get a relationship going with them. Let's have a cup of coffee this week and listen to what they are experiencing with their home and family life. Build those relationships. Invite families round. Get a sense of connection over a cup of coffee. Aim lower, think smaller, give up, and go and have a cup of coffee. Let's pause for a moment. You have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. And I will praise you, Lord. We will praise you, Lord, when we see 1, 2, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, hundreds more children. Coming to know you and being found in you, finding their life in you. Lord, we will praise you and we will pray. We pray that you would guide us and lead us into those things that enables us to fulfill your great commission to go and make disciples of all nations and all ages, to baptize them in your name and to help them to learn to know all that you've commanded us. And we thank you that you will be with us always to the very end of the age. Amen.